Your phone helped advertisers track you from your couch to a real-world store without GPS, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, or you ever touching it. And the trick was something your phone heard that you never could. In this video, I'll show you how sound became a tracking layer, how ads taught devices to recognize you across rooms and stores, and why regulators barely slowed it down. Welcome back, nerds. I'm Addie. I've spent 15 years in cybersecurity and I break down cyber threats before they blindside you. Once you see how this worked, you'll never think about background noise the same way again. Let's get into it. How did they track people without touching their phones? This came out of one burning question that eats ad budgets for breakfast. Did this ad actually push a real human into a real world store? Online, that answer is easy. You can track clicks, conversions, and dashboards because your browser is basically a confession booth. The offline world is chaos. GPS indoors is cattywampus and vague. It says, "There's somewhere in this mall, I reckon." Wi-Fi tracking needs the right routers, analytics, and you joining the network, while Bluetooth wants beacons, battery, and people who didn't rage toggle it off. Now drop that mess into fast food. Think McDonald's energy, with bright menu boards, fryer beeps, sticky floors, and constant music. Every store already has a sound system and a marketing team yelling, "We just spent millions on TV ads. Prove these ads got bodies into our stores." They wanted clean proof that this device was in the room when the ad played. Later, the same device walked in one of their locations, and all of that happened with zero extra friction on your side. They wanted it without check-ins, QR codes, nor scan your receipt homework. So you sit on your couch, half watching TV, half doom scrolling, an ad rolls, and your attention barely registers it for 2 seconds. Later, you're hungry, so you walk into that same chain. Nothing about that feels like a surveillance moment in your memory, but advertisers solved their billion-dollar tracking problem in that gap between couch and counter without leaning on GPS, Wi-Fi, or Bluetooth at all. So if none of the usual radio tricks were doing the tracking, what invisible layer riding on top of the room sound did your phone quietly pick up on instead? The day sound became tracking technology. There is sound in this room that your brain calls silence and your phone logs as data. There's a range of sounds that humans can't hear, but your phone absolutely can. Ultrasound lives roughly in the 18 to 22 kilohertz zone, right past your hearing limit. To you, it's nothing, but to a microphone, it's more vibration to record. Microphones focus on what's detectable, so ad tech looked at that quiet slice of the spectrum and moved in. Where there's no voices nor dialogue, it becomes the perfect place to hide messages. Here's the core trick. Ultrasonic beacons embed IDs into audio. This means tiny high-frequency pulses, different pitches, and different timing patterns. Each pattern encodes an ID. So that could be a campaign, a store, or a specific ad slot. Humans can't hear those patterns, but smartphone mics absolutely can. Ultrasound is essentially a barcode printed on the air. Now, plug that into the real world. TV ads slip ultrasonic barcodes under the jingle. In-store music systems hide them in the background playlist. Websites and apps autoplay harmless videos with ultrasonic tags underneath. And mobile apps with microphone permissions run little DSP libraries that listen in real time and report those beacon IDs plus timestamps back to servers. So once the system knew what your phone heard and when it heard it, how did those inaudible barcodes upgrade from audio events into a way to recognize you across your devices and your physical life? How ads taught devices to identify you across the physical world. Your TV and your phone have already had a private conversation about you, but those devices were never supposed to talk. Advertisers taught them how. Here's the pipeline. Step one, you're chillaxing on the couch and a TV ad plays. You hear the jingle. Buried under it is an ultrasonic beacon. Step two, your phone listens. One of your apps has mic access and an ad SDK baked in. Companies like Silverpush sold this as unique audio beacon tech. Inside that SDK is a tiny DSP engine that listens through the mic in the background, filters for ultrasound, matches beacons against a known pattern list, and sends a log of that beacon detection to a server. As of 2015, Silverpush claims 67 apps using this code, covering around 18 million devices. So this was not one weird demo phone in a lab. Step 3, the server stitches. That beacon ID maps to a specific campaign and brand. On the back end, it becomes one more event in your device's story, another data point that can be linked to everything else. That's the real play. Not, did someone see the ad, but which exact device in which household reacted after this specific sound fired. This is identity stitching built out of audio. And once they had a reliable way to link TV ad to phone behavior on your couch, the next move was obvious to them. If a silent beacon can connect your TV to your phone at home, what happens when the same beacon language follows you out the front door and into real-world stores? The experiment that followed people into stores. Advertisers finally ran their favorite experiment in the real world. Show the ad, wait, and watch phones walk into the store. Your phone became their witness. Fast food and retail chains are tracking playgrounds, and their loyalty apps already normalize microphone access. While you stand in line, the ceiling system plays music and promos, plus another ultrasonic beacon, this time tagged to store number 1432, brand Burger. Your phone hears that too and quietly reports it. On the back end, the story is clean. 6:14 p.m., the device heard the TV ad. At 7:02 p.m., this device heard the in-store beacon. The gap was only 48 minutes. The result, visit attributed to that campaign, all without a GPS lock, check-in, nor any interaction at all. From the system's perspective, this is beautiful. Pure offline attribution powered by sound you never even heard. Researchers later confirmed this setup in live environments. From your side, you watched an ad and grabbed food. From their side, your phone just testified, yes, that ad pulled the device into the store. So when regulators finally noticed this setup and stepped in, why did ultrasonic tracking mostly get a warning label instead of a hard stop? And what lesson did the surveillance industry carry forward into even quieter systems? Why this didn't stop, it just got quieter. Ultrasonic tracking never got banned. It just got some paperwork. It was just asked to be more honest on the label. In 2016, the FTC sent warning letters to 12 Android app developers using the Silverpush SDK. The problem was the secrecy. The letters spell it out. Silverpush code could access the mic even when the app wasn't in use, listen for inaudible TV beacons, and build a detailed log of what you watch, all without you understanding that was happening. The FTC basically said, tell people you're listening, tell them why, and don't bury it. You don't have to add a kill switch, nor this class of tracking is prohibited. Instead, they pushed to disclose it and get consent correctly. And while regulators were firing off letters, researchers started counting receipts. A team at TU Braunschweig scanned over 1 million Android apps and found 234 that contained ultrasonic tracking code, libraries that could listen for beacons in the 18 to 20 kilohertz range. They also found ultrasonic beacons actually deployed in real stores. So you have this weird dichotomy. On one side, headlines about a creepy ad company backing off audio beacons after bad press. On the other side, dozens of apps still shipping ultrasonic listeners and standard bodies like NIST quietly listing ultrasonic beacons as a known mobile privacy threat. The tech didn't vanish, but the lesson survived. That lesson being that you can turn any sensor into a tracking channel. As long as you sprinkle in some consent language, the system keeps shipping. If one channel gets too loud politically, you rotate to a quieter one. Ultrasound did its job. It proved that surveillance doesn't need you to actively cooperate. So once audio beacons got dragged into the spotlight and wrapped in disclosures, what did the industry pivot to next? And how did the tracking model evolve past sound into something even more ambient? The real lesson ultrasonic tracking taught the industry. Ultrasound looked like the monster. The real upgrade was the tracking mindset that it unlocked. That whole ultrasonic era taught ad tech a very simple rule. Surveillance runs on correlation, not permission. If sound can link TV ad in your living room to phone in your pocket, then anything that senses your world can play that role. The next wave obsessed over sensor fusion. Now it's Bluetooth beacons mapping your movement through malls and stadiums, Wi-Fi data tying devices to locations even when you never join the network, motion sensors and accelerometers helping fingerprint how you hold and move a device, smart TV ACR systems that screenshot what you watch every few hundred milliseconds and ship that data off for targeting. On the back end, probabilistic identity graphs chew on all this. IP addresses, shared networks, home routers, common locations, and similar browsing patterns. They decide, these five devices probably live together, belong to this household and should see the same campaigns. From a system design standpoint, ultrasound was just an early prototype of that logic. Take a sensor people ignore, sneak a signal into it, correlate the behavior before and after the signal fires, now swap the sensor. Maybe it's the Wi-Fi your phone pings as you walk past. Maybe it's your smart TV automatically recognizing content. Maybe it's your phone and laptop always showing up behind the same home router. None of these need you to press a big yes, please track me forever button every time. They live in the background, layered together, until your digital and physical habits blur into one long, very legible pattern. Surveillance cranks the volume up and it sank into the wallpaper. This is the real takeaway. Defense is about understanding how different sensors got braided into one tracking story, which raises the obvious question. If the game shifted from one weird ultrasonic trick into an ambient web of sensors, what practical moves actually reduce your exposure without forcing you to disappear off the grid? How to protect yourself from silent tracking? Here's the twist nobody tells you. You don't have to vanish to take this seriously. You're trying to turn down the unnecessary chatter your devices leak about you. The mental model I want you to steal is this. Stop thinking in apps. Think in sensors instead. Apps are just faces on top. Sensors are the mouths. The main mouths in this story are microphones, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and smart TVs and ambient devices. When you hard reset your brain around sensors, the next move gets way simpler. All right, let's talk some easy wins. The high impact stuff that you can do without nuking your whole life. First, audit your microphones. On your phone, go into settings and open the permissions list for microphone. Anything that doesn't obviously need your voice, kill those permissions. For the stuff that truly needs it, like calls, voice notes, maybe one or two apps, set it to ask every time or only while using. No more always on just because you installed a coupon app at 2 a.m. Next, muzzle your smart TV. Most smart TVs with streaming sticks have something like viewing data, ACR, or interest-based ads buried somewhere in the settings. Turn that off. If you can run a dumb HDMI stick into an older, non-smart screen, even better. Next, be picky with ambient tech. With smart speakers, always listening remotes, and voice assistants and random gadgets, each one is another mic in your home. If it's not earning its space, unplug it or at least mute the mic by default. Next, limit background activity. On your phone, block background activity for apps that don't need to live in your bloodstream. If an app doesn't need to follow you 24/7 to be useful, don't let it. Ultrasonic tracking failed because it taught the industry something better. And once you see that, protecting yourself becomes more of a literacy problem and less of a fear response. So how are you going to level up your literacy after this video? If you found ultrasonic tracking fascinating, the world of Wi-Fi router tracking will blow your mind. I'll see you in that video next.